Whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped, so that we can't make any excuses, and all the world may become guilty before God. For by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Therefore, we need a righteousness not of our own on the basis of obedience to the law, but a righteousness that comes from God through faith in Christ as the free gift of God's mercy and grace in Christ's work. He's the one that fulfilled the law for us and for our salvation. And so the law functions to show us our sin and to our need for Christ, that we might run to him, and his forgiveness covers all our sin and actually declares us righteous and holy as if we had kept all of the Ten Commandments perfectly.
That's soundbite number two, Pastor Peter Bender, on the proper place of the law. We're going to be playing Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week 90 minutes from now. We're going to have four in all. If you listen carefully at the breaks, we'll be playing all four of them for you. In the meantime, Bob Lico is our guest. Even before we interviewed Marilyn Hickey last week, Monday, we had been talking to Bob Lico because Bob knows Marilyn. He was actually one of her students at the Bob Tilton Word Faith Bible College down in Dallas, Texas, and Bob is a former Word Faith pastor himself. When we interviewed Marilyn Hickey, we asked Bob, what question would you ask her? In the course of this hour-long conversation with Bob Lico, we'll hear that question and Marilyn's response, see what Bob thinks about the response and about the interview in general. Bob Lico is a regular guest, co-founder of Discernment Ministry International, based in Detroit. He's a former Word Faith pastor and a graduate of Bob Tilton's Bible School. Bob, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Pastor Todd.
All right, tell us about your experience with Marilyn Hickey.
Well, she taught several classes as one of the main teachers at Mr. Tilton's school. And this is back now in the early 80s. In fact, for this broadcast, I went downstairs in our partial archives. The rest of the discernment archives have been moved over across the street from Concordia in Fort Wayne, where my mother lives in her basement. But I was able to grab eight of Marilyn Hickey's books that I was just looking through prior to this interview. And I've got a couple books that were printed by Mr. Tilton, publishing company that he used. And one of them, one of the classes she taught us was a class called The Motivational Gifts, which dealt with the kind of gifts that of ministry a person might have, such as prophecy or teaching, exhortation, giving, mercy, hospitality, those type of spiritual gifts. She taught about the acts of the Holy Spirit. She taught about the names of God in the Old Testament. And frankly, compared to many of the Word of Faith teachers, let's say Kenneth Copeland probably being one of the best known, she was an outstanding teacher in comparison to Kenneth Copeland or even Kenneth Hagin. I mean, she used to be actually a grade school teacher before she got involved in ministry. She's one of the few Word of Faith televangelists that actually has an earned college degree, even though it is, you know, an undergraduate degree, and it's geared towards teaching. I don't know if it was third or fourth graders or something like that that she taught. It wasn't even high schoolers. But nonetheless, she was a teacher, and she has some background in education. And it's evident when you listen to her teach. She has people repeat things, over and over again at times, and uses little teaching devices to get her points across. But the Marilyn Hickey I heard on that interview certainly was soft peddling a lot of the things that she has been teaching for about the last 30 years, which I found very interesting.
How important is Marilyn Hickey in the Word Faith movement? I've been referring to her as kind of the grandmother of the Word Faith movement.
Well, she's important in the arena of being one of the major early female international teachers. Certainly, Pentecostalism in general has had notable women ministers, such as Amy Simple McPherson, who started the Four Square Gospel Church, Catherine Kuhlman, of course. But after Catherine Kuhlman died, there really weren't that many notable big-name women on the scene until Marilyn Hickey came along. And as she mentioned a few times, she's 75 years old now, so she's getting up there in age. I think the woman that today has probably eclipsed her would be Joyce Meyer, or maybe almost up to Joyce's level would be another lady named Juanita Bynum, who considers herself a prophetess, is African-American believer, if you will. She comes from a oneness Pentecostal background, whereas Joyce, of course, was raised at Missouri Synod Lutheran, and Marilyn Hickey really never mentions having much of a spiritual background herself as a child. She said she did read her Bible in the interview, but she never mentioned where she went to church, and I don't believe I've ever heard her talk about much of her past.
Well, let's go to the interview, to some excerpts from the interview, and I want your reaction to various pieces that we have got an awful lot, and we'll get in as many as we can as time allows, Bob. Bob Blico is our guest, co-founder of Discernment Ministry International, based in Detroit, a former Word Faith pastor and a graduate of Robert Tilton's Bible School. He joins us to get his reaction to the Marilyn Hickey interview here on Issues Etc. Monday last week. Early in the interview, the subject came up about her own struggles. I asked her this question. Do you struggle against sin, Marilyn, to this day, daily, on a daily basis, the way it seems that St. Paul is describing in Romans 7?
Yeah, I struggle with attitudes, probably.
But attitudes, would you call them sin?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Bob, does it surprise you to hear her say that? I mean, in Word Faith parlance, saying, I struggle with sin, wouldn't that be a negative confession, a statement not of faith but of unbelief?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, in her book, Freedom from Bondages, and I'm reading from page 20, she states very clearly that God has a special anointing which will fill you with that same ability to live free from bondages by breaking their grip in your life. And by bondages, she's talking about different types of sin. She says there's a special anointing of liberty which wells up inside and flows out of those who spend a part of each day praying in other tongues. But I have met those who don't do it enough. Imagine the results we would have or see in church service if all believers spent an hour praying in other tongues. What would happen? They would bring the anointing with them to change lives. You know, she goes on and on. Her point being that, you know, if you pray in the Spirit, if you pray in other tongues, you're going to receive this anointing from the Holy Spirit that's going to enable you to be an overcomer. All of her books deal, well, except her most recent one, which I will readily admit I have not read yet, so I don't know if it's like her prior books, but all of her other books are really a theology of glory. We are to be victorious over all the works of the enemy. Jesus has defeated Satan on the cross, and the job of the church is merely to enforce that defeat and to live above the meagerly elements of this world, which certainly includes sin, sickness, disease, poverty, depression. All of these things really are not supposed to be a part of our life. And that's what she's taught for years and years and years. And as far as I know, she has yet to recant any of those teachings. And she certainly didn't, I don't believe, in that interview, say, you know, I used to teach some things, Todd, that I really, as I've grown older and studied the Bible more, I've come to realize we're not exactly right. She didn't say that. She didn't deny any of the concepts or doctrines or tenets of the Word of Faith cult. during her interview, and I don't know if she does in her book or not. You've read the book.
No, in fact, I read it from cover to cover and was surprised that I kept looking at the front cover, making sure it was Marilyn Hickey's book because it sounded more like Joel Osteen. If I did not know that she had connections to the Word Faith movement, strong ones indeed, I never would have been able to pull anything out of the book saying, here's a Word Faith teacher.
But remember what we talked about when Osteen came out and his church was, you know, written up about, and it was the largest church and still is, you know, largest church in America. And we did an interview and we were talking about, well, you know, gee, his dad was Mr. Word of Faith, John Osteen, which is true. And, you know, Joel seems to be kind of synchronistic here. He's sort of seeker-sensitive and using that whole church growth movement philosophy and yet still hanging on to some Word of Faith things and creating a new entity. Well, it's proved to be very successful for Joel, and I said, you can pull the tape, Jeff. You know, yea, verily, that's the direction that a lot of these Word of Faith people are going to go, because they are very practical and they're pragmatic, and they will use what works. It's working for Joel, and so I'm not surprised to see Marilyn write a book that is very similar to his, because he went on a worldwide tour just selling that book and filling stadiums, talking about it, and actually charging people $10 a seat to come in and to have the privilege to hear him talk about his book and then buy a copy of it.
All right, here's another piece from the interview, and this was actually the question that you suggested we ask, because you have been the recipient of Marilyn Hickey's ministry gimmicks, I guess you could say, over many years. You sent me a CD with, I don't know how many images of these things, you anointed
150 megabytes.
anointed little bags of cornmeal, anointed pieces of cloth or cords, oil, coins that Marilyn Hickey's ministry has sent to you. And I simply asked her, why does Bob, and I mentioned your name, why does Bob keep getting these anointed items if they are truly anointed and do what they say, like give financial miracles? Why does he keep getting them every month?
Well, because he's not the only one on the mailing list. I mean, there are people with a lot of different kinds of needs. And basically, you know, I share with people the transference of faith. And, you know, we can transference of faith through the anointing of oil, through the laying on of hands. People touch the hem of Jesus' garment. You know, Elisha threw salt in the water. There are a lot of visuals that God helps us to release our faith through.
All right, Bob. I asked her if these things give healing, some of them are promised healing. Why? Maybe you're getting sick every month, Bob. I don't know. You have some sort of chronic condition. What do you make of her response there?
Well, she did not answer the question. All she did was attempt to shore up her practice by citing examples that have nothing to do with what she sends and continues to send to this day. This is not something, again, she is, you know, the leopard has not changed its spots when it's coming to Marilyn Hickey and what she believes and what she practices and teaches, as far as I can tell, apart from what she may have written in this book. Yeah, sure, people touch the hem of Jesus' garment, and the lady with the issue of blood was healed. That was a genuine miracle. Yes, she did that. But Jesus also was God, and he was God the Son. And it happened that one time. Paul did send some handkerchiefs, you know, from his body, and it said that God wrought special miracles. In the Greek, it's very plain that these are special one-time events that were not repeated. They never happened again in Paul's ministry. We never read of them ever again in the early church fathers' writings. It just became a money-making gimmick for evangelists way back, starting in the mid-1940s, really. Although they used handkerchiefs even at Azusa, but they didn't do it for profit. she does it with a letter, with an appeal for your best seed faith offering. And as you mentioned, I think, to her about the fact that I received the same items, almost identical, and the letters are almost identical from other televangelists, you know, and
sometimes
all of the people claim that the Holy Spirit has led them to send me this letter.
Well, here was her response to that particular question.
Well, I can't vouch for those other ministries. I mean, I don't know where Bob Tilton is in his ministry today. So I can't say, and I wasn't contacting them then at that time, you know, to find out what they were doing.
All right. Now, she seems to just say, well, I can't account for the fact that everybody's sending out the same anointed coin with the same message. God told me to send you this coin. I know I was doing it, but I don't know what anybody else was doing.
Right. And that's not an answer. The point is that Marilyn, this what you're doing is unbiblical. It's not only unbiblical, it's unethical. It doesn't work. All it does is enrich you and cause you to, you know, have the money that you need to keep your ministry machine oiled, and very well oiled, I might add. You'll never convince me, Todd, when she sent us two rubber bands. And I think I included a scan in that disc to you of the rubber band letter with the rubber bands on them. I was to place one around my wrist and then send her the other one with my offering, and she and her prayer warriors in her office were all going to put on these rubber bands, and then we'd be in agreement and pray, and God was going to bless, you know, you check off a box. Do you need financial blessing? Do you need blessing in your marriage? Do you need a deliverance from an addiction? Does your lost loved one need Jesus? Please check these boxes, and you know, with your check and or money order or you know, Visa, MasterCard, American Express number enclosed. Now, come on. She's not going to walk around the office, nor are her workers, with 100,000 rubber bands on their arms. It'd cut off the blood circulation. They'd all have to have their arms amputated. So you know that that never happened. Ole Anthony proved through Tilton that those letters went straight to the bank. They were opened. The checks were removed. And the letters were thrown in the trash can. At least that was true for Mr. Tilton. And it was proved to be so. Now, I don't know if Marilyn actually gets these letters, but there's no way one person or 10 people or even 20 are going to be able to read and legitimately pray over the prayer requests of thousands and thousands of responses. She doesn't know any of these people. It's impossible. It's humanly impossible.
I have a hard time keeping up with my own email. I mean, much less I wouldn't want to be Marilyn Hickey's the person who opens her mail.
You see Benny Hinn, for instance, on television when he's sitting around a table, and there'll be stacks, literally about 3 or 4 feet tall, that he has a big piece of glass over that probably are 10 or 15,000 prayer requests. And at the end of the broadcast, he and his guests and whoever is his cohort is with him on the show, they'll lay hands on the top of the, you know, prayer request, and they'll just pray a general prayer. That's hardly praying for each individual. And you're led to believe that Marilyn is going to be praying for you, that she is going to be touching your rubber band that you touched, which actually is nothing but an occult practice called sympathetic magic. So, you know, that's just another example that she danced around. She just didn't say, well, you know, Todd, we don't do that anymore. Our ministry used to do that, but we've ceased doing that. You know, God really doesn't use that as a means of grace.
Bob Leko is our guest. He's co-founder of Discernment Ministry International based in Detroit. He's a former Word Faith pastor and graduate of Robert Tilton's Bible School. We're talking about and getting his reaction to our recent interview with Marilyn Hickey. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850. Or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Got a few more minutes here, and I think enough time to get to the next question that I laid out before Marilyn Hickey. By the way, we are coming to you live this Thursday, the 5th of October. I asked her a question regarding faith and suffering, Bob. Does a lack of faith bring suffering to the Christian?
I think that would be very judgmental to say that. I'm not going to say a lack of faith brings suffering. I'm going to put it on the other side. Put your faith in Christ to help you in your suffering.
Bob, your reaction to her response?
Well, that is certainly a big change. In fact, as we're speaking, I'm looking up on the computer a verse that she taught us in our class with Mr. Tilton regarding that very, very subject out of Proverbs. When she was teaching, she taught a class on Proverbs, and there is a proverb. Let's see here. I've got my screen up. And let's see here.
What's the...
Okay, yes. Proverbs 26:2 says, like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. The King James says, the curse causeless shall not come. So if Christians are suffering, she taught or used to teach that there is a reason why they are suffering or they're sick or they're depressed. And it boiled down to, A, number one, they were in sin somewhere. They had some secret hidden sin. B, they were in rebellion to the leadership of their church, or they had spoken evil words against one of God's anointed, such as herself or Mr. Hagen or Mr. Price or whoever. You may not have been a tither. You may have been robbing God and brought a curse on yourself. Her point was, these things just don't happen because we live in a fallen world. You don't get sick because of the fact that you are a sinner. You don't get sick because of the fact that even though Paul said the outer man is dying or decaying daily, but the inner man is being built up spiritually, hopefully, daily as well. She never used to teach that, but then I got new data when she mentioned that she herself had undergone this apparently a parasitic disease or illness or something that affected her for... How long did she say? Was it 3 months or?
Yeah, well, in fact, we'll talk about it when we come back from this break. One of the things that, and it's not in the sound bites we played, it wasn't the entire interview, which is still available at kfuo.org, the Marilyn Hickey interview. If you want to go back and listen to the entire thing, we're getting the reaction of Bob Alico, our guest, to that interview, to parts of it. Yeah, she said that she had suffered severely. In an incapacitating way from a parasite that she picked up while traveling abroad. And when we come back from this break, we'll see what Bob makes of that, and we'll hear some more from that Marilyn Hickey interview. Stay tuned.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. regular guests, Drs. Arthur Just, Jean Edward Veith, and Paul Grimm are just some of the speakers at this year's Good Shepherd Institute, November 5th through the 7th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now, if you love worship, this is the conference for you. For more information, look for the Good Shepherd Institute logo at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Theological Seminary, area code 260-452-2244. Join Issues Etc. as we broadcast live from the Good Shepherd Institute, November 5th through the 7th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. You'll find Christ-centered, cross-focused worship at the Good Shepherd Institute, November 5th through the 7th, at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Area code 260-452-2244 or issuesetc.org.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. The National Education Association and the Sexuality Information and Education Council of the U.S. are using the back-to-school season to bully abstinence education programs. This year, they picked on three curriculums they call fearful, shame-based, and inaccurate. But Steve Jordahl reports what they call inaccurate is really common sense.
CECAS and the NEA provided some examples of the inaccuracies. Heritage Keepers tells kids, quote, inside the bounds of marriage, sex is a great thing. Outside of marriage, sex can be dangerous. Instead of defending such an obvious statement, Ann Badgley prefers to tout their success.
We do have some evaluations that show over a year's period that we're reducing the initiation of sexual activity among adolescents by 50%.
The duo also took on programs called Why No and Weight Training, even though they never contacted any of the programs and evaluated out-of-date curriculum. Weight Training's Janine McKenzie says she prefers a more positive approach.
I don't want kids to equate sex with disease. I want them to equate sex with love and tenderness and long-term romance and all those yummy things that the heart longs for. Weight Training seeks to change behavior, not consequences. Teen pregnancy is not the problem. Teen sex is the problem.
Christina Espenscheid of the Abstinence Clearinghouse is puzzled by the criticism.
I can't figure out why they would be against this message. The message is healthy. It's positive. It promotes healthy living and healthy lifestyles.
She suspects it's about the money. This year, the federal government will give $176 million in abstinence education grants. For Family News in Focus, I'm Steve Jordahl.
Why No says 84% of kids who complete their program say they're equipped to say no to sex. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
On the next Midday Living Jubilee, live at 11:05 on AM 850 KFUO, join Paul Clayton and me, Diane Summers. We'll talk with Dr. James Lamb of Lutherans for Life. He says that National Lutherans for Life believes the stem cell and cloning initiative that will be on our Missouri ballot in November is a national issue. And we'll find out how and why and what we can do to help explain this issue to others. It begins at 11:05, Living Jubilee.
It is true that the doctrine of the Trinity is something of a mystery, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't teach it to our young children. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is titled The Apostles' Creed. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. The Apostles' Creed costs $9.99 plus shipping and handling. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. The Apostles' Creed.
People will say, well, Pastor, you can't say that the devil has been bound, that the devil is destroyed. Just look around. And we might call that look around theology or look aroundism. But I'm not a look aroundist. I don't believe in that. I believe what the Lord's Word says. That's how faith comes, by hearing. It's true that the devil still prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour us. But his authority has been taken away. He can no longer speak of our sins before the throne of God in heaven, and that's what matters.
That's Brian Wolfmiller. He was on this week on the program talking about the devil and Revelation chapter 20. That's soundbite number three. It's three of the four we're going to be using coming up here in 1 hour on Issues Etc. when we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week with you. Now, if I survive October in the first week of November, it will be a true miracle, because I think I'm... Where are we going next week? You're going to Minneapolis next weekend, is that correct?
Milwaukee.
Good thing I got a producer to point me in the right direction. Okay, so there is a little difference between Minneapolis and Milwaukee. We'll be in Milwaukee next week, and then some preaching dates. And the first week of November, if I'm not mistaken, we're going to take Issues Etc. on the road to the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, for the Good Shepherd Institute. You want to find out more about that? Go up there and visit. And while you're there, you can catch our live broadcast from the Good Shepherd Institute. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Good Shepherd Institute logo right there, issuesetc.org. You can also call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and ask them about it. Area code 260-452-2244. 260-452-2244. That's November 5th through the 7th. The Good Shepherd Institute at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're talking about our recent interview with Marilyn Hickey. Bob Leko is our guest. Bob, before the break, this didn't actually come up in the sound bites that we have to play here during our conversation, just for the sake of time, but she talked a lot early in the interview about the illness that she recently suffered, the trial of faith that she underwent, and then how God brought her out of it. But what's the problem for you with her saying that she suffered from this illness for a number of months?
Well, I was just looking during the commercial, reading her book called Break the Generation Curse by Marilyn Hickey, and on page 18, funny enough, Todd, she quotes Proverbs 26:2, which I just mentioned, and says, "The curse causeless shall not come. If we see sin and the various things that happen in our family, that sin is always a curse. Sickness is always part of the curse. Poverty can pass from generation to generation. God's word says it just didn't come on its own. There is a cause for it." So how, you know, that Marilyn Hickey, a woman of faith and of power, filled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, traveling all over the world, could somehow be struck down by sickness for a period of months, really boggles my mind, obviously, because she teaches that there is a reason why she got sick, and it's traced back to sin somewhere in the person's life. And the way that you break these generational curses is that you have to go back and, you know, through some sort of Gnostic insight, have things uncovered in your past, and then confess them and repent of them, and then the curse is lifted off your life.
Now, she claims with regard to that in her book that God revealed to her, first of all, in a dream, that she would get better and go to Europe. And then she says that several people came to pray for her. In the course of that prayer, she said she had a strong impression, and she says it was actually an inner voice of testimony that pointed her back to an event in her life, an incident of abuse by an uncle or something, and that she had, at the time, thought God had abandoned her. And that notion that she had when she was 16 was the reason she was undergoing this parasitic illness. And when she realized that, then she stepped out in faith and called her travel manager and said, "I want to get back on the road." And apparently, I guess, got better.
Yeah.
But she didn't call it, in the interview, she didn't call it a curse. She didn't call it a generational curse. She didn't talk about stepping out in faith. She put it in terms of kind of like, this is what happened. I called this guy, and then I decided I'm going to get back on the road. It was a very soft sell on what you just described.
Well, exactly. That's why I say I don't think she's changed any of her beliefs. I don't think we're seeing a kinder, gentler, type of Marilyn Hickey, although I am not saying she's not a nice person. I'm sure she is very kind-hearted and, you know, a genuine person. I think that came across in the interview. I don't think she was being duplicitous in her responses. I think she was being honest to a degree, you know, telling partially the truth and not going into a lot of detail, because she's trying to sell books. And she knows, and I'm sure her publishers have trained her, and she's given enough interviews to know what to say and what not to say. She wants to see this book sell, and sell very well. So she's very careful probably not to go into these things that she's taught in the past and continues to teach. And these books are still in Christian bookstores, and so are her series of tapes. I don't know who published her latest book. I don't know if it gives a listing in the front or the back, as often happens with well-published authors, you know, of other books that they've written. So I don't know if opening up the front of her book, you're going to see who, you know, Marilyn Hickey, who has also written Break the Generational curse, how to be a mature Christian, maximize your day God's way, treading with angels, acts of the Holy Spirit, God's covenant for your family, freedom from bondages. You know, I don't know if they list, and she's got a bunch more books, all of these books in the front or back of her latest book. They may have, tried to, in quote, sanitize it in that aspect. Again, I see her really trying to fit into this new thing that's happening where the word faith people are trying to kind of soft pedal some of their doctrinal things and appear to be a little more mainstream and just a little more, in quotes, evangelical and a little less extreme charismatic types. Although she endorsed the Holy Laughter Revival, she regularly, last time I saw her here in Detroit, people were getting slain in the spirit left and right as she was ministering, and she was anointing people with oil and all of this kind of stuff. So I just don't believe she's changed. I just think she's written a book that she believes is going to sell, and quite frankly was proven, at least in Pat Robertson's case, many times many of these ministers have ghostwriters that actually do the writing, and the person puts their name on the book. I mean, that happened with Pat Robertson, the expose of the man that wrote several of his books, turned out to be a homosexual. It was a big scandal several years ago. And you sometimes wonder, well, gee, how is it that people like T.D. Jakes and these others can seem to publish a book every week? So I don't know. I'm going to assume the best, believe the best, that she actually wrote this. I don't know if she incorporated other people in doing it or not, but she certainly is soft-peddling what she has taught and I believe still believes in her heart and still preaches and teaches.
If the word faith movement is known for good or for ill, for anything, it is as a prosperity gospel, as health, wealth, and prosperity are usually the three things that characterize it. This has been the subject of a lot of journalism lately, especially since some of these ministries have grown to global proportions. So it was natural that we would ask Marilyn Hickey in our recent interview with her a question about wealth. Does God promise wealth to Christians?
God promises a lot of things to Christians, and wealth has to do with soul prosperity. And so if you're talking physical wealth, it says, beloved, as your soul prospers. So I think that can be a part of prosperity, but the major thing is your soul prosperity.
Did she answer my question, Bob?
Well, what she did was sort of cite the beginning, I believe, of 3 John, where he says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And they take that, Word of Faith teachers take that as a doctrine, that as your soul is prospering, in other words, as you're getting into the Word, that means buying their books and listening to their tapes and coming to their seminars, that your soul will prosper, and then you will prosper physically, you're going to be healthy, and you will prosper materially. What they don't understand about that is that John's opening is, and has been found in other ancient Greek texts, that was a common opening. It's like saying, dear brother Wilkins, praise the Lord, and then you start your letter. Well, that's just what he was saying, beloved, I wish above all things you, that was common. But she writes in her book, I'm looking here, Freedom from Bondages again, she has a whole section on the three types of giving, which are tithes, offerings, and alms, and that the abundant life, and you asked her about this too, those who I'm addressing are Christians who already know that Jesus came to give us life abundantly in this life on earth. They know the scripture which David said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. They know that God desires to meet all of our earthly needs according to his riches in glory. But if the scripture promises all these things, why are there so many suffer in great lack. And then she goes on to say, well, I know that when we put our finances under God's authority, when we move in the authority of His Word over our circumstances, we will prosper. Your tithe makes an open channel through which God can bless you so abundantly that you will have to make more room to receive it. What is that? That is an overflowing blessing. But not only will He bless you, He also promises to halt the work of the enemy against your prosperity and bless your nation. So I just wrote a little side note in the book. I said, well, gee, I wonder how many people have to be tithing in order for a nation to be blessed by God. Certainly, you know, is there a quantum number that you've got to achieve, and then all of a sudden, okay, the blessing of a nation kicks in? Does it take one person? Does it take a whole denomination? Does it take every genuine Christian in a nation to be giving 10% off the gross? She doesn't say. But the point is this, Todd, she definitely teaches financial prosperity. And she just tried to couch that by saying, well, really, it's soul prosperity, which is just code language to me saying, oh, yeah, I know exactly what you mean, Marilyn. You're going to prosper as your soul prospers. But prospering financially is not left out of the equation. She just wasn't talking about growing in the Lord and growing in your relationship with Christ. When she says soul prosperity, she also, that's part of it, but she also includes, although she didn't really mention it too much, the aspect of becoming financially wealthy.
Okay, since we brought up wealth, I thought I'd also ask her about the second part of that triad, wealth, health, prosperity, health. What about health? Same question.
Health, I think, would be the same thing. As your soul prospers, it talks about health also. I have enjoyed very good health, thank God, and I praise Him for that. I think also just a lot of good common sense is good in health, too.
Okay, Bob, sounds like the same formula at work here. If I wanted to hear her saying, no, I'm not promising that you're going to be completely healthy all the time, I might understand it that way. Or if I'm one on the inside of the Word Faith movement, I'm going to hear her saying, when your soul prospers, your health will prosper.
Right. I would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So the fact that she's 75 years old and has enjoyed good health, which she did give God the glory for, which was proper and right and true, she also takes the credit because it's as her soul prospers. And it wasn't God that prospers your soul. It isn't God, I should say, that prospers our souls. That is our work. It's, you know, faith plus works, because faith without works is dead. And the work that we have to do is we have to listen to the tapes and go to the seminars and pray in other tongues and do these different things in order to achieve soul prosperity. And I certainly, I don't want any listener to misunderstand me. I am a firm believer in studying the Bible as families, in family devotions, in attending church, hearing the sermons, and attending Sunday school, the adult Bible classes. In fact, I'm teaching Lifelight Isaiah tonight. In fact, right after this broadcast, we're going facilitating one of the groups on Isaiah. So I'm a firm believer that, yes, we must indeed get into the Word of God. But any insight or any light that we are granted from our labors is directly coming from the gracious hand of our Lord via the Holy Spirit. So let's make sure that we're careful to give God all of the glory, because any good thing we do is because we're attached to Christ Jesus. In fact, He said He is the vine, we're the branches, and we as sinful people have a tendency to get that confused and think we're the vine and Jesus is a branch, and we simply add Him as a component to our lives, and by doing so, you know, we get incremental amounts of blessing depending upon our hard work. So that's kind of where she's coming from. She definitely believes and is written in these books. I can, if I had time, could give you exact quotes and pages where she says it is the will of God for all of his children to walk in divine health. And she hadn't changed that statement.
Bob Leko is our guest, co-founder of Discernment Ministry International, a former Word Faith pastor and a graduate of Robert Tilton's Bible School. We're talking about our recent interview with Marilyn Hickey, a key player in the Word Faith movement. Well, I pressed the question because while she said her answers could be interpreted as either for or against wealth, health, and prosperity, I wanted to press the question about the impression that many viewers get when they watch her, that that's exactly what she is talking about. Here's that interchange. It's a little bit long, but bear with us.
I don't know if I can totally understand that.
Can you understand how someone would get that impression from those things?
Not totally.
Why not?
Well, I don't know why not, Todd. I just don't totally understand.
Do you think that people, maybe I can come at it this way, and thank you again for being very patient with these questions.
Well, you're good. I like the questions, so not a problem. But I just want to be honest with you.
Well, thank you. You are being honest. Do you think that people who have criticized your ministry or the ministry of others who have, they have said, wealth, health, prosperity ministry or a word faith teaching, positive confession, and they criticize it because, and I probably would count myself among those critics, who say this is a prosperity gospel that teaches if Christians really, truly are Christians, then the struggles will cease, financial, health, and
well,
even the struggle against sin. Do you think that such critics have mischaracterized what you're teaching?
No, Todd, I don't think struggles ever end until you go into the presence of Jesus. I think we come to him daily, put our faith in his word, in the power of his Holy Spirit, to help us daily be victorious. But I could never promise anyone, as a Christian, you will never have a struggle. I can promise that he will be with you in your struggle and can help you and meet you physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually.
All right, there you go, Bob. I want your evaluation of that interchange.
Yeah, I think she maybe due to her age, and I'm trying to be very charitable towards her because she isn't an elderly woman. I didn't know that she was that old. Mr. Copeland is going to be 70 this January, and his hair is jet black, and you wouldn't know he was 70 years old. But I think that's not the blessing of God. I think that's hair color for men and good plastic surgery on he and his wife. But anyway, I digress. I think she didn't genuinely understand your question at first. And she just didn't want to come out and say, well, of course people are going to get that impression because I am a Word of Faith teacher. She never once in the interview admitted that, yes, of course, I'm unapologetic about that. Yes, I do teach the, if you want to call it the Word of Faith message, fine. Yes, I teach the same things that Mr., Brother Copeland teaches and Fred Price and Charles Capps and all of these people. Yes, we're teaching this because we find it to be true. It is the Word of God. That's why we call it the Word of Faith that we preach. She didn't ever admit to being a Word of Faith preacher
but
yet.
Bob, can she be unaware? She's an intelligent woman, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
A very kind and sincere woman. But she's been in this business for a long time. She's rode the waves, like you said, the early 80s prosperity of the Word Faith movement, and then it's seen its harder times, and she's seen her colleagues come and go, and she's heard the crazy stuff that comes out a lot of that. She's endorsed much of it. Can she truly be unaware of people who hear what she teaches or read her books and get the impression, hey, I'm supposed to be rich, in good health, and generally prospering if I really am a Spirit-filled Christian? She cannot be unaware of that misimpression.
Right. That's where I think that she you know, was hedging her bet a little bit and saying, well, I don't understand really, Todd, you know, what you're saying. I just don't get it. Well, either she had a senior moment and, you know, genuinely did not understand, or she was just simply trying to protect herself, or her publicist was probably sitting next to her kicking her in the ankle or something, you know, holding up a cue card saying, watch it, you know, trick question.
Hey, Bob, can you stick with us for another 10 minutes here on the other side
of this break?
What do you think of this? You got about 1 minute to respond. When we did this interview before and we played it and we got our audience's reaction last week, one guy called in and said he thought that Marilyn was, he used the term, limp-arming me. It's a wrestling term where if someone's got you in a good grip, you just kind of go limp until you can find yourself in a more advantageous position. You got 1 minute. What do you think of that characterization? I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, I think it's a great response. I think he was spot on in his answer, because I think that's exactly what she was doing. I mean, I would and have used the term, you know, soft peddling. She was soft peddling the message. Limp arming you, that's another a good way to express it. She just simply was kind of like a piece of wet spaghetti. She was not gonna be nailed down on any real hard questions. I'm surprised that her publicist or whoever contacted you guys said, look, we're only talking about the book, the chapters in the book, book sales, where they can purchase the book. We don't want to discuss anything else. And I'm very impressed with the way that you were able to get in some other questions, and frankly, that she was gracious to answer them.
Well, Bob, when we come back from this break, there's one more that I had for her, and it really, for me, is the most important question of all. When we come back, we're going to get Bob Lico's reaction to the Marilyn Hickey interview and her response to the question about the fact that I have noticed, many others have noticed, that the gospel, the message of Jesus' perfect life, death, and resurrection for a sinful world is often conspicuously absent from the preaching and the teaching of many word faith preachers, and why this is. Her response on the other side of this break: Bob Lico is co-founder of Discernment Ministry International, based in Detroit. He's a former Word Faith pastor himself. He's a graduate from Robert Tilton's Bible School. We're talking about our Marilyn Hickey interview from Monday last week on Issues, Etc. By the way, you can find out more about Discernment Ministry International by going to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click links, and you'll find a direct link to Bob Lico and Discernment Ministry International. The website address again, issuesetc.org. 10 more minutes with Bob Lico. Then we'll do a little bit of audio open lines running up to Soundbite of the Week. We're going to be playing it in the last half hour of the program. And I think if you listen carefully coming out of this break, you'll hear soundbite number 4. Our call-in numbers, if you've got questions or comments for Bob Lico, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Speaking of word faith, when we come out of this break, the soundbite you're going to hear, soundbite number 4, is a little juxtaposition of the Apostles' Creed and what we call the Osteen Creed from Joel Osteen.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.